may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, if you will. Y'all think them young'uns are going to be ready to sing next Sunday? You will be? All right, the kids say they will be ready. All right, that'll be good. I look forward to them singing next Sunday morning. That'll be a blessing. They've been working and practicing to get ready. I've been looking forward to it. We'll put them up and let them sing next Sunday morning. Good. Mark chapter 4, if you will, verse 1. The Bible said, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. We're going to leave off reading right there. It's a very familiar parable. And I do know the proper interpretation. It's kind of hard to miss it. God tells us, you know, in his word about it. The sower, the Bible tells us, is the Lord. He's the one that sows that seed. And that seed is the word of God. And the field is the world, all right? We sow that seed, all right? Now, God gives us a part as being sowers of the seed also. And the ground, or the soil, if you will, is the different hearts. Look at verse 15. Verse 15, it says, "Thee that they by the wayside, when the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." Okay? So we know it's there, and it is the heart where that word is either received or not received. But I want to examine it a little bit different tonight, if I could. I realize Sunday night service, usually when you're in the house of the Lord on Sunday night, it's God's people. It's people that are saved, all right? And I'll be honest with you, I don't mind chewing you out. I don't mind letting you have it, okay? But every now and then, I think it's okay not to chew everybody out, all right? And really, I would just like to speak to you tonight just a little bit and get you to think about your heart. Okay, think just a little about. And I know these different locations where the word is sown. There were some that would represent people that were saved, and others where people were not saved. I understand that, all right. But like I say, I want to look at it a little bit differently. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4 and verse 23, that we are to keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence. The Bible says, for out of it are the issues of life. The implication to me is there that your heart can go wrong. We know the book of Jeremiah said the heart's deceitful. It's desperately wicked, all right? It can be that way. But the Bible instructs us to keep our hearts, all right? Now, in a lifetime of serving the Lord, I have seen folks' hearts change over time. I've seen things happen, all right? But that heart only changes because we allow it to do so. Now, it can get better. I'm talking about spiritually better, all right? It can get better or it can get worse, all right? And I believe the conviction of our heart, it can improve, it can degenerate, but it lies within us to determine what it's going to be. And the Word of God, we're to be people that love this book. We're to be people that love the Word of God. But I have seen folks over time, their life change because their heart changed in relationship to the way they receive the Word of God. So if I could use these four examples tonight and just get you to think a little bit, how about your heart? How about your heart? The first place the Bible says they fall by the wayside. Look at verse 15. The Bible said, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. I believe that wayside, we could look upon it and look upon it as one whose heart is an individual who's careless or negligent. Very careless, very negligent. The word is there. It is sown. It's available, all right? And we can take that word. But the Bible said, Satan cometh and immediately taketh that word away. Sometimes God's people, we get careless. We lose focus, if you will, on God and the things of God. We get, you know, life rolls along and we get used to things. We get used to what's going on. We get used to what's happening. Look, you can get used to being in church. You can get used to being there and you can think, well, here we are again. This is the 4,357th time I've been here and I'm keeping a number. I'm not. I have no idea how many times I've been in the house of God for the preaching of the Word of God, whether I'm doing it or I'm listening to somebody do it, all right? But I'm just saying to you, when we practice that, we can get careless. We get careless. Those of you who are cooks, most of you who, if you've done it a long time, there's an instance you remember where you had out the knife and what got cut wasn't the vegetables. Now, what happened? Well, you got careless. We get careless. It just happens to people. Whatever line of work it is, it's easy for us to get careless in something that we're used to. And the truth of the matter is we can get careless when it comes to the things of God. We can get careless when it comes to the Word of God and when the Word of God is preached. But we need to realize that Satan is always going to be around and he will be more than happy to take away the word that was sown. And he works in a lot of ways to accomplish it. Let me give you about five things that I think he does and he can do. First of all, he'll keep you from hearing it. He'll keep you from hearing it. I've got sermon notes somewhere and I've preached a message time or two on the title of I'm Here But I Ain't Listening. I'm here, but I ain't listening. We have the opportunity. Will Satan keep you from hearing it? We get careless in church. Our body is present, but some don't hear what's preached. They just don't hear it. And I've told you of experiences I've had visiting. I'd be in a home the next week, and I'd be talking to those people, and they'd say, "Preacher, it's just like you preached last Sunday, this and this and this." I thought, "I don't remember saying a thing about this and this and this. I thought my preaching was that and that and that. Where did you hear this and this and this?" And we get careless. We don't hear it. If Satan can do that, he will keep you from hearing the word. He will just do it, all right? He'll keep you from hearing. He'll distract your mind. He'll distract your mind. It'll go somewhere else. Your stomach will growl and you'll begin to think about eating after church. And you'll begin to think, "Where can I go? Where have I not been lately?" Had somebody before church said, "Man, yesterday I got the craving this," and said, "I went and got it." Well, that happens to you in church sometimes. Hey, what are you saying? I'm saying this: Satan can steal away that word if you're careless and not really on top of things, all right? Listen, if he can't stop you from hearing it, he'll stop you from receiving it. He'll stop you from receiving it. He'll convince you, "Hey, that's just the word of man. That's not the word of God. Just the word of man. It is not the word of God." Hey, you know, just anything he can to keep you from taking the scriptures as the word of God. You'll hear it said this way sometimes: "That's just your interpretation. No, it's what the Bible says." We didn't interpret anything. We just, here's what it says. See, the devil works that way to get you not to receive the word of God. Sometimes you, as a church member, as a saved child of God, you have a need, but Satan is working against you, and the preacher preaches the word. It doesn't have to be me. It can be anybody. Satan preaches the word, but man, Satan convinces you, listen, that's his opinion. That's his opinion. He'll keep you from receiving the word. Hey, if he can't stop you from hearing it or receive it, he'll confuse you. He'll confuse you so you don't understand, all right? He'll do it. I mean, you know, he'll just confuse you in the whole deal. "Man, that's too hard to understand. I got lost there. I just got confused. So I'm not sure. And I'm really not sure. I mean, preacher, you preach that new doctrine, and I just got confused in it. The Sunday school teacher seemed to say this, and then you got up and seemed to say this, and to me, I got confused between the two of them." Well, if it's ever in the adults, he's wrong, I'm right. Don't forget it, all right? I'm kidding, all right? But, hey, we just have to understand that sometimes that's one thing Satan does, to snatch that word away from us. You say, "Well, what do I do in a case like that? How do I handle it?" Take your Bible to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Look, the Bible has the answer for things, but we have to put a little effort into it. Here's what the Bible says about some folks at a place called Berea. In Acts 17, verse 11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and here it is, search the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Hey, you get confused? Get in the book. Search it out. Search it out. You don't have to stay confused. You don't have to always work and wait on somebody else to fill you in. Look, God gave you a mind. He gave you the Bible. Open that book up and search it out. Read and study it out. If Satan tries to confuse you and snatch that word away from your heart, then you get in the book and find out what it is so you're not confused. Hey, but if he can't cause you to get confused, then he will sometimes cause you to just forget it, to forget the word. He'll get you thinking about something else. He'll get you thinking about something else. You know, sometimes one of the worst things people can do in the house of God is during the preaching, get up and go out. Get up and go out. Because you never know what's happening in the heart of a listener. Somebody's getting the word of God, but then here's this person that gets up and walks out, and that individual that God's dealing with, all of a sudden, wonder where they're going. I wonder if they're sick. What are they doing? What's happening? Hey, what are those two laughing about up there? Look, we just need to realize this. We're in the house of God. It's important we pay attention that we not be the disturbance that causes somebody else to get distracted and then forget what's been going on. Just forget what happened. We get distracted. I mean, it can even be something like I've already mentioned. We get to thinking about what we're going to do after church. And we get focused on that. And a man, I need to talk to so-and-so. Make sure I make a note of that. Need to talk to them and need to do that. Well, here comes Wally back in. They weren't out very long. It must not have been a big problem they had. Look, can I say this if you have children? You train your children to go to the bathroom before church starts. You take them before church starts. And look, there's not anybody can't last an hour without dying of thirst. None of us. No, we can make it. We can make it. And I say this, and probably, so help me, the only time I ever remember having to get up and leave the service during the preaching. It was one of those Sundays where Dad said, "Now listen, everybody stay with me here. Don't be getting up, going out, go get a drink." And I don't think he had barely got the words out of his mouth. And I'm sitting, at that time I was sitting over here on this side. And my stomach started bothering me. And the longer I sat there, the sicker I got. And I'm over there thinking, I can't get up and get out. Dad said, "Don't leave." Dad said, "Don't get up, don't leave." But man, Dad, could you hurry up and get through with the sermon, all right? Because things are not looking good. And I got to the point where I decided, you know, Dad, I believe you'd rather me leave than do what I'm fixing to do in here, you know. So I got up and went out. Now, by the way, if people do get up and go out, don't automatically assume, well, they're just getting a drink of water. All right? Now, if you find out that is what to do, do your best to shame them into never doing it again, all right? Hey, why? Because Satan uses those kind of things to cause us to forget the Word of God. He pulls it away from us, all right? He pulls it away. If he can, he'll keep you from hearing it. If he can't do that, he'll keep you from receiving it. If he can't do that, he'll confuse you so you don't understand it. If he can't do that, he'll cause you to forget that Word. And if he can't do that, finally, the thing he'll do his best to do is get you to disobey that Word. To convince you, it's not going to be that big a deal. I mean, you know, hey, just... maybe that preacher's right, but you know, hey, it'll be okay. I mean, after all, think about it. You've disobeyed that before, and you're still alive, aren't you? Hey, look, I'm just saying he'll try his best to get you to disobey that word. And let me point this out. This is the devil's work, all right? That's the way he's going to work at it. And it is a spiritual work, all right? It's a spiritual work. Don't be careless. Don't be negligent with the Word of God. Stay with it, all right? Stay with it. Sometimes, though, that old heart, we get careless. I'm talking about believers get careless. And we miss what God wants to give us. Don't let that happen. You work on it. I said that heart, you control it, and you control that ground, so you work at it. But hey, if it's not by the wayside, look at verse 16. "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." Now the Bible said this is shallow ground. Look back in verse 5. Verse 5. "Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth." had not much earth. There wasn't a lot of ground there to work with. It was very shallow, all right? Well, the Bible said these folks, it comes there, they receive it gladly, but unfortunately, there's not enough soil there for it to take root. And for Christianity, look, this whole business of your Christian life is a growing thing, all right? We're to grow. We're to grow as Christians. We're to be a better Christian tomorrow than you are today. You're to be closer to God next week than you were last week. It is a growth process. Getting saved is an instantaneous thing. But your Christian life is growth. It's growth, all right? It's growth. We take it in. We take in, and that thing that it causes us to grow is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. We take that Word in, but if we've got such a shallow heart, shallow soul, the Bible said, man, it doesn't take much to offend that individual. And it doesn't take much to kind of cause things to shrivel up and be grown. Hey, if there's no root, there's no fruit. There's no root, there is no fruit. You need to examine that heart of yours. How much depth is there to it? How much depth is there to your heart? What is the depth of your soul? I am absolutely convinced that one of the great problems in the world of Christendom today is that it is such a shallow Christianity. It is a very thin veneer. It is a very thin veneer. You've heard the terminology, don't be so thin-skinned. You know, don't be so thin-skinned. Well, they said something and upset me. Oh, for crying out loud, get over it. Develop a little bit of thick skin about yourself, all right? Be able to take a little correction. Some people have a hard time with that. And they have a hard time. We've had students at school that when you'd correct them, they'd tear up and the tears start. Oh, I'm trying to. I wanted to just slap them. Man, I hadn't got after them hardly at all.
You're yelling at me.
No, but I can. We're just thin. When God's people are that way, man, when the preaching gets a little bit hard, they get offended. They get offended. Well, I come back. Or we get offended because somebody else says something, we take it wrong. When we take it wrong, we look at them and say, well, they commented on my new shoes. Pick something, all right? And just hurt my feelings. Man alive, we need to have a little more depth to us than that, all right? We need to have a little more depth. We need to be tougher, all right? We just need to be a little bit tougher when it comes to being a Christian, being a child of God. That heart, soul, if it's thin, you need to build it up, all right? It needs to be deepened. You need to work at deepening that soul. Sometimes the best way to do that is just haul some in, okay? Just haul some in. Yeah, borrow from somebody else. Talk to them. Let them give you some encouragement. If somebody comes to you and says, look, you're taking offense too easy, don't shrivel up and cry and stick your thumb in your mouth. Understand, I need to toughen up a little bit. I need to get past this. Now, listen, you as mature Christians, you need to be careful how you treat new Christians. Yeah, you definitely need to be careful how you treat them. You need to take care of that. But my friend, if you've been saved 15 or 16 years, you ought to be a little tougher, all right? There ought to be some toughness in you. Things ought to be built up. You build up that soil. You take the criticism, you take the advice, you take the encouragement of others, you take that and instead of getting bent out of shape, accept it as being delivered and being for your benefit, And go on with that, all right? Try to get that soul level a little bit deeper, that heart that you've got won't be so easily offended, okay? Be careful about it. Got that stony ground heart? Well, work on it. Work on it. Take some effort to do that, all right? Maybe pitch some of them rocks out and add something good there. Look, if you will, all right, that stony ground. But now go to verse 18. The Bible talks about thorny ground. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Hey, the picture here is there's plenty of soil. There's plenty of soil. And it's sufficient for growth to take place. The root can be put in, all right? There's enough fruit, there's enough soil for the word to take root, all right? There is plenty of soil, all right? That word can grow in your heart. So what's the problem? Well, the Bible said thorns grow up. Stuff grows in the heart that's not supposed to be there. We allow that to happen. Years ago, I was in Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'll never forget it. And I was visiting my great uncle and great aunt, Uncle Johnny. Uncle Johnny had a garden. And I went out and looked at his garden. It was unbelievable. Everything that was in that garden that was green, he planted it. Every green thing there was supposed to be there. Now, I've been involved in gardening before. When you went into the garden where I had, I want to tell you something, there was some green stuff out there we didn't plant. But it was there. And in spite of everything we could do, it was there. Wait a minute, I probably ought to change that. In spite of everything I was willing to do, there was stuff in there that wasn't supposed to be there. And when it came time to pick the beans, you had to wade through the Johnson grass to find them. So what are you saying? I'm saying weeds were there. Weeds were there. Thorns were there, if you will. They had grown up in that good soil. That soil where things could take root. They grew up and they were, the Bible says it chokes out, all right? It chokes the word. Chokes the word. I remember I said in my Uncle Johnny's garden, his wife said, I said something about it, and she said, he lives out there. He lives out there. Well, let me say this. We ought to live where our heart is. That is where we live. We need to be careful that the weeds get pulled, all right? This is the patch of ground that needs to be weeded. Now, the Bible talks to us about what those are. It spells them out. You look there, all right? It says in there, so in verse 19, the cares of this world. The cares of this world. The cares of this life. All that stuff that's going on overwhelms us. We get focused on that, and we let all of that get so big and so that it chokes out the word of God in us. And it keeps us from producing the fruit we need to produce. The cares of this life. You know, just paying the bills. What you have to do. Car breaks down. Aggravating thing. Aggravating thing. Just, here it is. You know, oh man, great. Just the other day I told my wife, man, I got a doctor's bill. It was a doctor's bill from when we were in Idaho. I got a doctor's bill from over a year before. I stood in the trash. I said, man, if you don't want to send it quicker, No, I didn't. I paid the bill, all right? But you know what I'm saying? Ever had that kind of thing happen? Things, you getting there, everything's going on. What's this? This looks like a bill. Open it up. It is a bill. Great. Hey, it's the cares of this life. The cares of this life. Then you notice what it says, the deceitfulness of riches. The love of money. The love of money. Boy, that operates on all of us, and we all have to contend with it. There's not any of us say, oh, I don't care about money. You're lying. Yes, you do. The deceitfulness of riches, we do. We look at it in the love of money, and we think, man, I can't do what the Word says because I don't have enough money or this or that. That begins to choke out the Word as it's preached. The preacher preaches on giving. We might as well put it right where we live, okay? Preacher preaches on giving, preaches on giving to missions and paying your tithe. Oh, man, here we go again. Don't you understand, preacher, that I can't afford all of these things? Hey, it chokes out the Word. It chokes out the Word. But notice in the lust of other things. The lust of other things. Lusting is just covetousness. It's covetousness. We covet what the world has. We begin to do it. Hey, just boil it right down. We get too much influence by the world. Way too much influence by the world. And we let what's going on, I mean, pick anything you want to, the music of the world, the styles of the world, I don't care what it is, but we let the world influence us too much. We let it get into our life and it chokes out the Christian life. We lose the ability to do what we ought to do for God. Why? Because of the cares of this world, the lusts of other things. I've just got to have it. I've got to be accepted out there. And Christians who ought to be godly, faithful, holy, are worldly. Worldly. It is a sad commentary on God's people when the world can't tell we're a child of God. The world cannot look at us and see there is a difference. And that we are a holy individual, not just off of our words, but our life itself speaks for the truth of the Word of God. Hey, if that's your problem, you need to weed the garden of your heart. There's some things need to be pulled out. There's some things need to be plucked up. There's some things need to be pitched, all right? There are some things need to be gotten rid of. There it is. The Bible said they fall by the wayside. It falls on stony ground. It lands in thorny ground. But verse 20 said, and these are they which are sown on good ground. Good ground. Now I know it's hard pressed. There is none good. There's none righteous. No, not one. But I'll tell you this. Good ground can be produced. Good ground can be produced in your heart. You say, wait a minute, preacher. You've already told us your heart's deceitful. It is. But you've already said it's desperately wicked. It is. But you can produce that good ground. You said, how? Well, right here in verse 20, such as hear the word. Hear the word. We listen. We listen. We're looking for it. Hey, every time you come to the house of God, there's going to be preaching or teaching of the Word of God. It ought to be antennas up, ears open, focused in. I want to hear what you've got. And if they invite your attention to a place in the Word of God and you go, oh no, they're not going to preach on that. Well, maybe you need that. Don't cut it off. Don't cut it off because of where it goes. Don't stop it and say, well, man, boy, I could have swore he's riding the hobby horse. Well, get on the horse with him, okay? There's a reason for that, all right? We need to hear that word. We need to, by the way, that's why it's so important you're faithful in the house of God. Boy, I wish I could get some folks that come just on Sunday to come Sunday night and then to come back on Wednesday night. You know, you get up here and you try to tell people, look, it'll help you, it'll make a difference in your life. You say, well, how? Well, I can't just put that into words, but if you'll do it, you'll see it happen. Why? Because you hear the word of God. You hear the word of God. Now, at the same time, I want to tell you, that involves you studying it and you reading it. You're trying to produce good ground in your heart. So you produce that by what? Well, hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. Then notice the next thing. Receive it. Receive it. Now, we're not talking about, okay, I got it. Thanks. Thanks. I'll keep it right there. That's not what it's talking about. If we really receive the word, we put it into practice. We put it into practice. I remember back yonder when in 2006, my daughter and I, we were going to go up to behind Harvest. I was going to walk a little bit. She was probably going to jog. We got up there and we started walking, and I started getting this pressure on the inside here. I told daughter, I said, boy, I just felt like if I could really burp real good, I'd feel so much better. And I sat down on a bench there, and I won't give you the whole details, but I walked, finally decided, well, I'll just go home. And when we got home, Susie, she was already in the bed, so I went to bed. The next morning I woke up, had that same feeling, but this time it's worse. Man, I'm starting to sweat, and I'm feeling sick. And I got all of that. I get up and go to the restroom, and I finally come back to the bed, and I woke my wife up and I said, look, I think you might ought to take me to the hospital. And her first words out of her mouth, you got another kidney stone? No, I think it's my heart. Never seen that woman move so fast in all my life. We got to the hospital, make a long story short, in a couple of days, I'm out of the hospital with two stents. And with the happy news, you are a type 2 diabetic. And here's a long list of medicine you can take. I didn't want to take it all. I just didn't want to do it. And I remember going back to the heart doctor later, said something to me, and he looked at me and he said, if you ain't going to do what I'm saying, don't come back. Well, that's a bad attitude for you to have, sir. Bad attitude for you to have. Hey, but that's the same way with us. We hear the word of God, but we really don't receive it. We don't put it into practice in our life. We don't start using that word. We don't start letting it do its work in us because we're not obedient to that word. Boy, if we'll do that, we'll receive it, and I just let it work in us, all right, as we begin to obey the word of God. And then the Bible says, and bring forth fruit. And bring forth fruit. Hey, we'll never bring forth fruit if we don't hear the word and receive the word. And let it begin to take root and grow within us. But it's when we'll do that, we can bring forth fruit. We can go and look for others, and we can witness to them. We can talk to them. We can show them, hey, look, looking at me, I got something that's real. That's real. This thing of Christianity is not just what I do on Sunday. It's not just what I do on Sunday. It affects me every day of the week. It affects everything I do. It affects every relationship I have. It affects the habits that I'm developing. It's going to affect everything along the way, all right? Hey, that's good ground. You can develop that good ground. But I'll tell you this, you keep it good by making sure it gets plowed regularly. making sure it gets plowed regularly. Man, you just have to plow. You keep it plowed. And you said, why? Because it'll keep the soul of your heart soft. And then it can be productive. Man, hard soil's hard to get to grow anything. But if it's soft and it's been worked, it's been plowed, you hoe the garden sometimes. You pull the weeds. You get all of that out of it, all right? You plow it regularly. Why? I want it to stay soft. I want it to stay soft. I want it to stay soft. The ground of my heart, the ground of your heart, we need to keep it soft so that the Lord can deal with us, and it's a simple thing. It's an easy process. He doesn't have to go. All he has to do is just tap. And it becomes like Samuel, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I'm here, I'm available. Hey, I just ask you now, how about your heart? How about your heart? By the way, I'm not up here looking at you thinking, boy, I know you, it's stony. No, I'm looking at you. You got them thorns growing. No, I'm not. I'm asking you to take a look. You look at it. You look at it. How is it? How is that heart? Is it pretty shallow? Is the soil there pretty shallow? Are you easily offended? Quick to take offense? You need to work on it. You need to work on it. Are there weeds growing? Get them out. Get them out. Sometimes you get those out because you come and you confess to God, Lord, I'm having trouble. I'm guilty of doing things I shouldn't be doing. Lord, you help me. I'm going to quit. I'm going to leave it right here. I'm going to leave it right here. Listen, keep that soil good. You can produce that good soil. You hear the word. You'll receive that word. Keep it, and you know, begin to bring forth fruit. Keep it plowed. Keep it soft. Let God deal with you. The Lord taught that parable to his disciples, and he wanted them to understand it. He wanted them to be warned that Satan will snatch it away if you're careless. So how about your heart? Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, first, just help us to be honest with you. Help us to be honest about our own heart. Lord, that we'd be open. We'd admit our own condition as we look. And Lord, whatever the need is, would you move? Would you touch us? Lord, help us to be sensitive to the touch of God, to have a desire within us to have good soul, that we might produce fruit for you. Lord, use the invitation for your honor and your glory tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together? Page 390, Is Thy Heart Right with God? Sing a verse or two of invitation if God's dealing with you. The altar's open. You come. Come now. Don't keep waiting. Go ahead and come. While we sing, would you come? Come on.
And nailed to the cross, is thy heart right with God?